number two. Extra 1360 with you to 3 o'clock. John and Jim coming up here in a little bit. We'll talk in about an hour's time. We will chat with Mark Sweeney from Bally Sports San Diego. He was on the call for the Angels and the Mariners, Fox Sports 1. I wonder if he sensed there would be drama as there was yesterday at Angel Stadium. But right now we say hello to Dylan Hernandez. He's a columnist with the LA Times. I said a little bit earlier, I've got like three things that I really want to talk to Dylan about. Kyrie Irving, Gareth Bale, and Freddie Freeman. Marty also, what else did Marty put here? She wants us to talk about some Angels and Altuve and Machado and other stuff as well. But Dylan Hernandez, our friend, always great to have him on the show. Always great to read his columns at the LA Times. Dylan, it's Darren. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for having me on.
Well, we appreciate it. How's everything going? Did you make the trip this past weekend to Atlanta?
I did not, no. Kids are kind of off in the summer right now. I should have gone, honestly, or somebody should have. You know, so many storylines, and unfortunately, our beat writer, Jack Harris, kind of got stranded out there alone with having five things to write every day, so... Somebody should have alleviated the load for sure.
Did nobody realize that the prodigal son was going back home to Atlanta and this would be such a major storyline and that the emotions would be overflowing everywhere in the greater Atlanta region?
Let's just say it's been discussed on the staff. Might be a little bit above my pay grade. So don't want to say too much here because I might end up on an unpaid suspension or something.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's just stick to the story then. Did you have any anticipation that we were going to have comments from Clayton Kershaw and comments from Dave Roberts and that we would have the kind of storylines coming out of a series between the Braves and the Dodgers? We knew that Freddie Freeman going back was going to be a big deal, but, man, it took a couple of interesting twists, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, and it's kind of weird, right? I mean, I on one hand, you know, again, Jack Harris, our beat guy, was saying, you know, it's too bad you're not here. Would have loved to have read what you would have written. And that actually made me think, like, actually, thank God I'm not there because I'm not sure what I would have said about that, right? It's really kind of, you know, and I know we're kind of in an age of, you know, kind of embracing male sensitivity and all that kind of stuff, but it's a little weird to see, again, a grown man, like, kind of bawl like that, like, you know, my seven-year-old would, right? Like, you know, that said, what's really amazing is how, even with all these tears in his eyes, he seems to be able to hit, which is really weird, right? Because baseball, I mean, when you talk about, you know, the emotions of the game and why, right, you know, a lot of people in the game will, like, encourage players to not be so demonstrative and so outwardly emotional, is because a lot of the time those emotions start hurting guys either on the mound or the batter's box, you know, in a game where the mechanics are so fine, right? I mean, your shoulder flies open, you know, fraction of a second early, and all of a sudden your swing's messed up. The fact that this guy just keeps hitting no matter what's going on around him, I'm also kind of marveling at that a little bit, right? You know, I know the city is kind of right. The city is Los Angeles is a little bit like, wait a second, you know, are you one of ours yet, right? I mean, LA has showered this guy with love, by the way, you know, and part of it could just be the fact that Freddie is like a very easy name to chant. But, you know, right, I mean, anytime he hits an extra base hit, no, Dodger Stadium, like, erupts like in Freddie. People love chanting his name, you know, and I don't think, you know, L.A. could have been any more welcoming, you know, to another player than, you know, to an outside player than it has to Freeman. So I think there is a little bit of, like, hey, wait a second here, you know, we're showing you all this love, and yet you're, seems like you're kind of not over your last girlfriend, so to speak, right? So. Yeah, it's a little bit weird, you know, but I think in the end, you know, the performance is ultimately what kind of dictates everything in these things, right? I mean, I'm not really sure, you know, hey, look, the guy needs to cry. Yeah, if he keeps hitting 300, I'm not really sure it's that huge of a deal.
Right, and I wouldn't think it was a big deal, Dylan, and I certainly wouldn't have you on or you know, think that we should be instigating here, other than the fact that his teammates – seemed to have some interesting things to say, most notably Clayton Kershaw. Again, and I don't want to misrepresent what it was if somebody missed this because they were focused on what was happening at Petco Park or something else this weekend. But Dylan, I just thought it was interesting that Clayton Kershaw seemed to suggest, like, yeah, well, he's going to realize LA's great whenever it is that he gets comfortable here, and hopefully we're not second place. You know, it's one thing for fans or people on social media or people like you and me, to have this kind of conversation. But what did you make of the commentary from that player in particular, Clayton Kershaw, and other teammates, as it was reported?
Yeah, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is kind of like your man's man, right? He's Mr. I'm going to pitch on a short rest, and, you know, I don't care if my arm is like that, you know, right? You know, I always said last year, you know, when Scherzer couldn't answer the bell, right, you know, after closing out the BS, right, there's no way Kershaw does not pitch that game. It doesn't matter what condition he's in. He's going out there, right? He's the guy who, you know, again, tries to kind of like suppress stuff. Is kind of more the traditional baseball guy. And again, I'm thinking like right from like his vantage point, right, and I think honestly like from mine as well, it does feel like a little bit like self-indulgence to like cry that much, you know. But again, like it's hard for me to like even like relate to, because I mean clearly it's not an act, right? Because I could not cry like that if I wanted to,
right? You've lived in Los Angeles for a long time.
Yeah, you know, this is like this isn't like the Alex Anthopoulos. You know, remember the Braves GM when they signed Matt Olson, and he kind of like pretended to cry and he like strained really hard to like squeeze out like two tears. Like this isn't like one of those types of crying, right? This is like a legit, like, you know. So I'm guessing as part of it is kind of like, you know, I mean, honestly, like if my son, my grade school son, started crying like that, I would tell him like, hey, like, you know, and God, I'm gonna probably get emails from people telling me that I'm a terrible parent, but I am of the, hey man, suck it up, like pull it together, right? You know, you're a man. No one's gonna feel sorry for you in this world, you know. So I'm guessing Kershaw's kind of coming more from that type of thing, and he probably had to kind of say right impulsively something just kind of had to come out. But again, man, they're in first place. You know, it's I think, you know, you ask Kershaw kind of at the end of the day, you know, he's a guy who's found ways to play with, you know, guys like Puig and whatever. So like, this is, you know, I'm sure again, it kind of struck him as odd. I'm guessing it's not a major deal.
Okay. You know what would be interesting is I remember when Dave Roberts came from the Red Sox to the Padres 2005, the season began, he was on the injured list for whatever reason, and he went back to Boston. He put on a Red Sox uniform so he could be part of the World Series celebration there. People were angry here. They were like, oh, if Dave wants to be a Red Sox, he should stay back in Boston. That was 2005, so I bet you the manager has a pretty, not that these are apples to apples comparisons here, Dylan, but that the manager was criticized on Baseball Tonight by Harold Reynolds here in San Diego. I remember that very, very well, including from teammates inside of the clubhouse. So I bet you he's got a pretty unique approach to this and how he's going to manage that inside of the clubhouse.
Yeah, you know, clubhouses are like, you know, it's like your office at work, right? Or your, you know, like a classroom or whatever, you know? You keep people together long enough for a period of time, like they're going to find reasons to get angry at each other, right? I mean, me and my coworkers were always arguing about some crap and, you know, things like that happen. So, yeah. Again, I don't think, you know, the point is he's still hitting 300. I think it'll be fine.
I think so, too. Yeah, Marty Caswell is the only person who actually never finds herself in one of those type of in-office conflicts. It's amazing after all of these years. Dylan Hernandez is joining us. He's a columnist with the LA Times. All right, so that's that. So we'll see what it looks like coming up on Thursday. A big series, Padres and Dodgers starting on Thursday, which we'll talk about a little later on in the week. Dylan, the second thing. You have written a column in the LA Times where you seem to be promoting the idea that Kyrie Irving, if he's available and wants to come and join the Lakers, then the Lakers should figure out a way to get that done. What's going on here?
Well, they're just basically right now there's zero chance of them winning as they're constructed right now, right? They are not winning with Russell Westbrook as their point guard. It's just like an impossibility. So the chance is zero. You get Kyrie Irving. You know, he stays healthy and, you know, right, shows up to all the games.
Yeah, okay.
If LeBron James stays healthy, if Anthony Davis stays healthy, now you have a chance. And I'm not saying this is like a 90% chance they're going to win the championship. I'm just saying whatever that chance is, it's better than zero, which is where it's at right now. And, you know, these are the Lakers. You know, I mean, you can talk about, okay, well, you know, we got to hold on to these draft picks in 2027 and 2029. But, like, look, the Lakers do not rebuild. You know, that when they were collecting guys, right, and, you know, I mean, you could kind of question the wisdom of, like, basically having traded everybody for Anthony Davis. But that, you know, the Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram team, you know, people in L.A. were not embracing that team. They were not embracing that, like, rebuilding thing. The Lakers don't rebuild. They're expected to fair not to contend every single year. And if that's the standard, you know, and you kind of got it right, and you, as long as LeBron James is on the court, you kind of have a chance, right? And if you put the right pieces around him, you know, he's going to be 38 in December. You have a window of sorts right now. You kind of have to go for it. And LeBron James is the ultimate, like, win now player, right? I mean, he's not getting any younger. You might as well take advantage of these next couple of years, you know, if he's going to be around, say, beyond this year, and really kind of try to take advantage of that. And really, it comes down to, you know, with Russell Westbrook, they have zero chance. With Kyrie Irving, they have something of a chance.
Yeah, you even went as far as to say there is no choice. They have to do this. It seems like the news of the day, which suggests that the Lakers and not so much the Nets yet are interested in a sign-and-trade, and only the Lakers are interested in a sign-and-trade, seems to suggest that there's some traction to this as well, that you know, this is a real possibility, as much as it seemed, perhaps even when you wrote the column, Dylan, it seemed like a little bit of wishful thinking.
Yeah, you know, I think part of this, too, is the fact that, like, look, if you have anything going for yourself as an organization, this is the type of guy you stay away from. And I understand where people say, like, well, why would you touch him, right? This guy's always hurt. You know, and if he's not hurt, he's kind of missing games for, you know, weird reasons, whatever. You know, so like, say if you're the Clippers, yeah, this isn't a guy you should go after, because you know what? If Kawhi Leonard's healthy, Paul George is healthy, you're theoretically a championship contender. You have something to lose. These Lakers, you know, for the Lakers, again, like the situation they're in right now, where it's hopeless, that's as close to rock bottom as it gets for the Lakers, you know, so they're not in a position, you know, I understand, again, why some of these other teams wouldn't want to do it, but the Lakers aren't in the position that those teams are in. The Lakers have no choice here. They need to do it.
By the way, speaking of the Clippers, as a quick aside here, when are the Clippers moving into the new arena? Is that the next season? Not this upcoming season, but the season after that?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Looks pretty good on paper, doesn't it, in the renderings?
Yeah, it does. You know, well, in that pool area, my guess is, right, it's already, you know, you're already kind of hearing complaints from, like, community activists about rents, like, soaring and stuff around there. But, like, that area has really changed, you know. It's going to be right next to the Rams football stadium, you know. And as it was already, you know, going on Century Boulevard right there, you know, between the two things, you know, they've already, you know, in the last decade or so developed some, like, you know, relatively, like, nice strip malls and stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think, a pretty nice, you know, kind of buzzing area where people are going to be able to hang out and stuff.
Yeah, maybe the World Cup final will be there in 2026.
Yeah, you think so. You know, the weird thing is, I believe, and I'm not 1,000% sure of this, but I heard this from somebody that saw the actual bit about how the field, it doesn't fit a soccer field, right?
Right, too narrow.
Stadium. Yeah, so they're going to have to, like, build, like, a stage, basically, on which they're going to, it's like a $5 billion mistake, right? Like, whoops, you know. I'm actually surprised. How did that happen?
You would think the owner of Arsenal could figure out a way to get the dimensions right. But then again, it's also Arsenal, so who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they could, you know, it feels like they could do anything now. They're just hoping it doesn't turn into one of those, you know, because I remember, I think when the Chargers played down at the Azteca, right, they don't have that special type of grass that the NFL uses. So they had to import this stuff, and, you know, next thing you knew, you know, you had grass just kind of flying around everywhere, and people were, like, losing their footing. That's kind of what you don't want, right? And so hopefully that whatever they install there, you know, whatever stage and the grass that they put on top of that, you know, you'll actually get, like, a playable field.
Is that technically an indoor and outdoor stadium?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of both, right?
Well, I don't know. Can it be both?
I mean, the sides are all kind of open. You can walk outside.
Okay.
Right? You know?
Hybrid?
Like I said, it's got, like, a roof on it. It's like a giant, what do you call those things, you know, that they have at the park? You know, I can't even.
I don't know. Seesaw? I don't know. It's been a while.
Those things with the covers, you know?
I don't know. Like a palapa? Yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, anyhow, let's not get distracted and bogged down by details. So that's for 2026. All right. So you do think, so bottom line, before we move on to Gareth Bale, you think that, does this sound credible and real to you that Kyrie Irving, you think more likely than not, or what's your best guess as what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, the players have a lot of power in this thing. It seems like he wants it out of there. It makes sense for the Lakers, and it doesn't make sense really for any other place that you would want to go to. My guess is that it's going to happen.
All right, and then lastly, over the weekend, here I am just minding my own business, and I see that Gareth Bale, most recently winning a Champions League Cup with Real Madrid, is going to come to Los Angeles to play for LAFC. And now, we've seen big stars towards the end of their careers make a move from Europe or Mexico or wherever to come and play for Major League Soccer. This is how it's earned its moniker as a retirement league. I don't think that's exactly the case here. It feels like Gareth Bale, who's from Wales, Wales will play the U.S. men's national team when the World Cup is in November this year in Qatar. I was really surprised to see this. I think this is, I don't know that there's ever been a player quite like this to make the jump from Europe to Major League Soccer and to land in Los Angeles with Vela and Chiellini. To me, Dylan, this is really good business for LA Football Club.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and the fact that they're paying him, you know, I think his annual salary is going to be $1.3 million, right, which is what he earned like in 2 weeks, 2 weeks of wages in Real Madrid, right? And it just so happened, I think, where he needed a place to get, because, you know, at Madrid he'd fallen out of favor a long time ago and basically just kind of been stuck on the bench there. He needs games right now to get ready for the World Cup in November. And fortunately for MLS, you know, all these times, it's funny because a lot of these things that we used to complain about MLS, you know, the salary cap, the fact that they weren't on the FIFA calendar, are things that are actually kind of working in the league's favor right now. And one of the things is this league plays through the summer, right? A lot of most of the leagues around the world are on break. He just needed minutes, you know. And I will say this, though, you know, you got to give the league credit for, you know, okay, it's not the Premier League, it's not La Liga, whatever, but it is. The level of play has gotten acceptable enough to where, right, you know, a player of Bale's caliber looks at it and says, you know what, that's good enough to help me get ready for a World Cup, you know. And, you know, up in Toronto, Lorenzo Insigne, who's one of the best attacking players that Italy has, you know, at the prime of his career, I mean, this guy's like 30, 31 years old, you know, got a big money contract, is going to be playing in MLS. And one of the, you know, and you got to remember just, what was it, like 6, 7 years ago, Sebastian Giovinco, who was kind of like the first, like, in his prime player to come over from Europe when he came over from Juventus to play for Toronto. At that point, you know, the Italian national team basically banished him for having gone to MLS, right? It's like, well, you're not playing in a real league. We're not going to call you up. Insigne left with the assurance from, you know, the Italian national team that this won't stop him from getting called up again, you know? So, you know, the fact that a player, again, of Bale's caliber views this as a place where, you know what, this is adequate preparation to get ready for a World Cup, I do think kind of speaks to, you know, kind of this gradual improvement that the league has made. And, you know, and again, I think the more these guys that keep coming over, the more destigmatized the league becomes, right? Like you said, it's always kind of been known as a retirement-type league. It's kind of has, like, had negative associations. But the one thing that you do see is a lot of these European guys, you know, they want to be in the United States, you know? And as soon as I think the league stops getting, you know, stigmatized like that, you're going to see more and more of these guys coming. And I think there's a really good chance that we see Lionel Messi here before his career is over. You know, maybe even after this World Cup. I mean, this, the way things are going with him in, you know, in Paris, right? It wasn't a great season over there. I could totally see a guy like him coming over. And, you know, those are, you know, you can say, like, well, Beckham didn't have this, like, huge impact, whatever. But, you know, the times are different now, right? I mean, people know who these players are. You know, my kid, you know, my 7-year-old, again, just recently started collecting, you know, trading cards, whatever. He buys soccer cards, you know, like, he knows who these players are. So this isn't kind of the world that you and I grew up in where, you know, right, just a couple kids in school might know who these guys are. These are real names now, you know, and I think, again, we're not going to see, this is, you know, no, MLS will never have kind of that Wayne Gretzky in the NHL moment where just kind of overnight people just become aware of this, you know, because right, it becomes a big sport overnight. But I do think kind of gradually like this, the league's moving kind of like in the right direction.
You know, what's interesting too is yeah, absolutely. Some of this is that Gareth Bale is going to come here so he can play in the summer. The longest that MLS's season can go is like November 2nd. And then a couple of weeks later is when the World Cup starts in Qatar. Gareth Bale will represent Wales, as mentioned, playing the U.S. men's national team, which is his own interesting subplot, given who the head coach is of LAFC, Steve Cherundolo, who's a local guy. But then you have a couple of players playing in Los Angeles and Carlos Vela and Javier Hernandez-Chicharito down the freeway. And those guys, because they're playing in MLS, even though there is a little bit of a pull for them, the return of the Mexican national team, it's mostly thought that they won't be part of their national team because they play in MLS. Just an interesting juxtaposition on how the different countries are going to view the MLS experience this year.
Well, I think, though, that, like, in Vela's case, that's, like, on him.
Right. He doesn't really want to do
it. He just doesn't want to be a part of it. You know, with Hernandez, actually, he spoke that recently there's been contact with Martino. And actually, the issue there wasn't the MLS thing. It was the fact that, you know, there were some, the last time I guess he was called up, he was involved in some extracurricular activities that the coach did not like. And so, you know, part of this is kind of mending the fence from that. And obviously, they need scoring. Most teams do. So, you know, I don't think MLS is necessarily kind of like any kind of obstacle there, you know. And you actually look at a lot, right, because of the pay structure, you know, even though Mexican teams are deeper than MLS teams, you see a lot of these, you know, the higher-end Mexican players, a lot of them are actually like in MLS right now, right? So, you know, and again, I think it's just kind of, I just remember as a kid, you know, I think in all, right, the best, you know, Mexican soccer player at the time was Hugo Sanchez, right? He scored, you know, he was a five-time scoring champion in the Spanish league with Real Madrid. You know, in all my years living here, I saw him play live once, you know? And the fact that right now you can, every weekend, you can go down, you know, either to Bank of California Stadium or down to Carson and see one of these guys, right, the two most iconic players of their generation, that we could just see them like every week. I just think it's kind of cool, you know, just again, where the way I grew up and just kind of like, right, every time any one of these guys came into town, it was a big deal. And now the fact that these guys are kind of part of the league here and just kind of, you know, they're like almost, right, any other high-profile athlete in the market, I think that's pretty neat.
Absolutely. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. July 8th, I think, Friday night. Does that sound right? LAFC and LA Galaxy?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, man, would you like the pressure of that, though? I mean, given the way Zlatan came in last time?
Yeah, I would.
Guy comes off the bench, scores two, you know.
I was at that game.
Goalie from midfield. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no way Bale lives up to that, right?
I don't know, man. That dude scored some bangers in his career. I know he's got a bad rep at the Madristas, but man,
He's going to have to really do something. If not, my persistence is going to be like, this guy's a bum.
Yeah, go out, hit the golf course, Gareth. Good luck to you. Thank you, Dylan. Gazebo. Is that what you were thinking of earlier?
That is exactly what I was thinking of. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks to our text line. They're the ones that came up with that. They always fill in the blanks when we hit the skids, as we often do on this show. Not you. Dylan, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No, thank you.
All right. Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times, who there talked about the three things. I'm sorry, I know we didn't get to the Angels, but we'll save that for Mark Sweeney coming up in the third hour of the show. But on Kyrie Irving, on Freddie Freeman, who had an interesting weekend.
On Extra 1360.
All right, Mark Sweeney, Bally Sports San Diego, will join us on an off day, getting us set for the Padres and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Mark Sweeney was also on the call, Fox Sports 1, Saturday night. This was news to me. Sorry, Sween Dog, that he was on the call. He was the analyst for the Mariners and the Angels. Mm-hmm. There was tension in the air Saturday night, and it boiled over on Sunday. Did you have any opinion about that brawl, about the dust-up?
I'm just glad Shohei Ohtani wasn't hurt.
Yes. Always the most important part. Any story involving the Angels is, how is Shohei Ohtani?
Exactly. And who's protecting him? Where is he in this scrum? No, but I did appreciate like both bullpens running out together simultaneously, like side by side.
Yeah. One of these days you think a bullpen is just going to square off, you know, in the bullpen.
Right.
Save themselves the cardio.
That was, what, like a 19-minute fray?
It was a delay.
It took a while.
The Donnybrook.
Who gets? Yeah.
Took about 4 or 5 minutes.
Who gets a long suspension? Rendon from being, you know, he's out for the season.
Well, you're not allowed on the field if you're injured.
Right. So it's going to be him. He'll get the longest one, right?
Not sure. I don't know. I don't have any answers. I also can tell you this, just having done a couple of years of radio with Phil Nevin. Mm-hmm. I can remember Nev. I don't remember who he was talking about. He might have been talking about a Padre pitcher. He might have been talking about a different pitcher. But I do remember very clearly him saying, and I almost can picture where we were. I think we were at Dick's Last Resort downtown. And I can remember Nev saying, as only Phil Nevin could say, after somebody had some pitcher hit a couple of different batters. And the conversation was, well, you don't think that was on purpose, do you? Like, he just wasn't gripping the baseball. The guy had no control. Nev goes, hey, it doesn't matter. If you can't control the baseball, you don't belong out there on the mound.
You love Austin Adams.
So I remember him saying that very, very clearly. That he didn't want to hear it. I'm sorry that you can't figure out a way to grip a baseball. But you're going to get somebody hurt. And your team needs to be aware of this. And I think that that's sort of what it was that happened on Saturday night, is that the Mariners pitcher was dealing with some control issues. And I do remember that. I do remember that as clear as day. Nev going, oh, you shouldn't be on the mound. So whether that did or didn't have anything to do with what went on, it was Trout. It was also Trout there. Ball came dangerously close to Mike Trout. They're looking for something, for anything in Anaheim. So I did remember that as I was watching the footage over and over and over again, trying to see what was going on, and then enjoying the storyline afterwards of a pizza being delivered to the visiting clubhouse in Anaheim.
I still don't get how that gets through.
Me neither.
It's just a remarkable story. I think we need to do a lot more on that. I realize it's a busy weekend, a lot to go ahead and cover, but I just don't understand how that gets through. Like, the parking, okay, it's $10 to get in the stadium. You can probably, I'm sure there's like a free zone though if you're delivering food to clubhouses. I guess food gets delivered to clubhouses a lot more often than we think.
But the clubhouse,
you need to get all the way down there. To get in there, it's not very easy. There's security clearance.
I bet you food actually doesn't get delivered to clubhouses on a regular basis. I don't. That's why you have a visiting clubhouse attendant.
Because
he arranges to have whatever it is that you want brought in.
But what if a player's right? This was a surprise to Jesse Winker, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this was a fan who was watching the game. She lives in a different state.
It's one thing if Blake Snell, you know, has an early exit and he tells, hey, clubhouse guy, to tell the security guy who's parked, you know, by the player's parking lot, hey, just so you know, Basic is delivering a bunch of pizzas for us for postgame. So could you just, you know, keep an eye out? This is different. This was not solicited by the player or the team. It's coming completely from the outside.
Correct. As a matter of fact, what is often the case is somebody will say to the visiting clubhouse attendant or the visiting clubbies, they'll say, hey, we're in California. You know what we would love? In-N-Out Burger, right? Some team from
some other state didn't
get In-N-Out Burger. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you see $1,000 worth of In-N-Out Burger show up at the park. Sushi on the Rock, right? That place up in La Jolla, I know that they've been delivering to the visiting clubhouse from time to time as well. So, you know, if you're a good visiting clubhouse attendant, and I know the Padres have had great visiting clubhouse attendants, this is what you do. So the fact that a random pizza showed up at Angel Stadium is kind of crazy.
Well, according to this report, Sophie, who is the fan who sent the pizza, outsourced help to Mariner fans at the actual game. So they went and greeted the DoorDash deliverer at the gate on Gene Autry Way. And then the Mariners' Twitter, the Mariners' social media department picked up on it online, and they were able to help finagle the Mariner fans helping get that pizza to the clubhouse.
Amazing. What a story. What a story.
Massive tip for the Dasher, by the way, like $150.
Right. Well, then they found the Dasher's Insta or Venmo account, and all of a sudden a bunch of Mariners fans just started contributing to this person who delivered the pizza, which is another great subplot to the story. And how about that poor crying girl? The one who was at Petco Park, remember when Joey Votto got ejected? She was actually at this game watching some of her favorite former Cincinnati Reds. And again, it happened to her where her favorite player, Winker, he ends up getting ejected from the game, and she was in tears again.
What is happening?
She's a bad luck charm, man.
Yeah,
She's kind of like the Nick Castellanos of fans, right? Like, strange things seem to happen when she's around versus him, him at bat.
Right, yeah. Whatever this kid shows up, you don't know what's going to happen, man. That kid's a menace. Did you have an opinion just to follow up on Dylan Hernandez? Who cares about Kyrie
and Freddie Bale, Freeman?
But about Freddie Freeman crying like his 7-year-old son?
Like heaving sobs.
It was.
Like, it was uncomfortable. Like, you're like, yeah, this is a great moment, day one. And then when it keeps going on and on and on, it gets a little bit uncomfortable.
Really?
Just a bit.
You didn't think it was?
No.
No?
I'm over it. Like, I was over it. Like, I know it was the ESPN game last night. And then it was like the Fox game on. Yes, you weren't watching. You weren't watching it. No, Like our friend Alden Gonzalez from ESPN. He was there all weekend long chasing this Freddie Freeman story.
I actually did see a report of his.
He's gonna be exhausted.
After the College World Series, as a matter of fact, I saw him on television from Atlanta. He's like, yeah, some of the Dodger teammates are like, okay, are we over this yet? Are we ready to move on, Freddie? Is it okay? Like, can we focus on us now?
Hey, man, we're a good team, too. We're in first place. You're making a ton of money.
Yeah.
Shizzle ton of money.
Shizzle ton.
Oh, boy. So.
I don't know. Braves offered him 5-140. Dodgers offered him 6-162. Is he happier?
Got to get that six. That 6 year man is where all the emotion comes pouring in. That was a lot.
There's a lot going on.
We get it. We're good.
Seemed to rub some of his teammates the wrong way.
I know.
It was a lot. It was unexpected. Cocksure, what do you think?
I mean, he's a human being. He worked his entire life for this one thing. He got there. Right. He won it. It was with an organization he's no longer with, and maybe he suppressed some of those emotions when he made the move, and you never know how you're going to feel. And none of us know how he feel, like, what that's like. So I'm not in a position to tell Freddie Freeman not to sit there and ball like a baby.
Right.
I don't think any of these fans are, even though they might be frustrated about it.
How about his teammates?
So the Dodgers have won. Because the Dodgers have won World Series and his teammates do know what that's like, I would expect more empathy. I was a little surprised.
It was all weekend long.
Who cares?
It was just, like, he just...
The dude did something incredible. Let him in.
He won a World Series. Happens every single year.
Well, it's not going to happen every single year. Hey, what's the big deal?
Not here, though.
But on behalf of all of San Diego, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Somebody wins this thing every year.
That emotional, man, maybe you should have stayed. Maybe you should have been okay with that.
Could have stayed and been a hero 5-140.
Yeah.
Maybe money's not the key to happiness.
Yeah, but maybe it was hindsight that maybe at that moment he realized, damn, I should have stayed, and that's why he was crying.
That's
not
going to
say that, though.
Why should he have stayed?
No, Kate Kershaw said it. Anyhow, hopefully he's a big blubbering mess when the Padres show up there on Thursday.
National League Player of the Week.
Still all up into his feelings.
All right. GoYourStripes.org today.
The iHeartRadio Music Festival is back September 23rd and 24th. T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. Two nights, one stage. Our buddy Diplo added to the list of performers. So now's your chance to go buy tickets at AXS.com. Get your tickets now before they sell out. All info, iHeartRadio.com/festival. Forget about going to sporting events. Why don't we go do that? Who cares about going to the All-Star Game or one of these other football games? Let's go to the iHeartRadio Music Awards in Vegas. That sounds fun.
That would be awesome.
Let's see, September 23rd and 24th. Let's look at the calendar.
College football.
It's a Friday and a Saturday. We can do the college football from Vegas. They have televisions there. You can gamble on the games.
That's such a good point.
Could actually be better there.
You said 27 and 28?
I said 23 and 24.
Oh, sorry. I need that.
Oops. I've buried the lead on this show, by the way.
Buried the lead. Oh, I've got it. Okay.
Was it the, what's this, fam and fa- the...
Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson fam dispute?
100%.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Marty and I were on the same wavelength. Yeah.
That is great.
That's amazing.
Any other weekend, that might have led the show. The latest episode of the Always Loyal podcast, featuring future business partner, Jerickson Profar.
I did see that on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Great conversation. Saturday afternoon. We did it whenever we had to do it.
Saturday afternoon.
I had quite some hoops to jump through to get this done. As I said, I had some friends from out of town. They were visiting from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. I had just gotten off the ferry from Coronado to downtown. Had to go and find myself in a quiet room in a hotel so that we could talk to Jerickson Profar when it was that he was available. Now, I'll tell you the quick backstory that I mentioned on the podcast. So Loyal last season delivered a bunch of jerseys around town to a bunch of different people that they would consider to be influencers. Influencers.
Like social media influencers? TikTok influencers?
Yeah, I guess. And Jay Riff just pointed at himself.
I was being sarcastic.
But let me also point out, we didn't get any either. And this was long before you were actually here. That's been addressed. But there were jerseys that were delivered to the Padre clubhouse. Okay. And if I heard the story correctly, Tatis got one, and Machado got one, and Hosmer got one.
Yeah.
And Profar sort of is like, oh, man, he didn't get one.
Hmm.
And this story was relayed to me. And I said, oh, I wasn't in charge of that. Well, Profar is the biggest soccer fan that we have in this clubhouse. It's like, really? I did not know that either. Now, even another reason for me to like Jurickson and Profar, mm-hmm. even more than I already do, mm-hmm. which is like an unhealthy amount to begin with. So we started the ball rolling then on getting him to talk a little bit of soccer with us. And obviously, I haven't been around the club that much. I wasn't around the club at all last season, meaning the Padres. I've been around it a handful of times this year, but I've not actually crossed paths with Profar. So thank you to the Padre PR staff who made him available for a soccer podcast where all we did was talk about soccer. There's no baseball content there.
How long was it?
About 18 minutes.
Oh, that's wow.
He was great. Joined us via Zoom. Told us a lot about growing up, being a soccer player. He put together a starting 11 from Padre players, which was just fantastic.
Hmm.
He talked about his offseason, where he goes, where he travels. He travels to the Netherlands. He goes and he watches Ajax. He has a cousin who plays for Ajax. And I'm not going to give any more away. But it was just, it was fun and it was everything I hoped it would be. And I also will tell you, I did pitch him on the idea of Bar Profar.
And?
Loved it.
Really?
Loved it. We're making it happen. Bar Profar, all we're going to do is we're going to show soccer and Padres games.
Perfect.
In our Palapa bar somewhere on a beach in Curacao. He's like, I'm in. Done. I said, Jurickson, I even have a name for it. Bar Profar.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Done. Paperwork being drawn up as we speak. This will be my last day.
Okay.
No, you're not going to get your wish that easy. But it was great. He was such a delightful person to talk to. I mean that sincerely.
Yeah, he's great.
Where does that rank on your list of interviews?
It's up there. Now, I will say I did have to swallow my tongue a bit because he's a Real Madrid fan, something I did not know.
I'm looking forward to I need to watch this because I want to see his comfort zone talking soccer in an interview versus talking baseball in an interview because it's very different, man. I mean, I love talking. It's good. He's always very happy. He says certain things, but it's different mm-hmm. getting words out of him sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's a bit understated. You know, I think, and obviously somebody being different place, all that sort of stuff, and he's like trilingual. I mean, he is very, very versatile.
He can speak some Korean. He's picking it up from he's picking it up from Hoseong Kim.
He's just a delightful person to watch, and he really was a very, very fun person to talk to. So I have to really thank the Padre PR staff. I'm sure when we pitched them on this, they're like, to do what now? But there are some dudes in there who are soccer fans, so they made it happen, and we greatly appreciate it. And we'd love to get him out to a match at some point. We know his time is very limited during the baseball season, and unfortunately, loyal season and Padre season overlaps. But we're working on it. Mm-hmm. We're working on it, and we are going to make amends for not including him in the influencer boxes from last season. A jersey is on its way. Let's get to the texts.
Let the questions fly.
Is that a serious question?
Time to.
Next question.
Ask Darren.
Such a lame question.
Text us at 70470.
All right, we're going to have to carry some of these over into the third hour of the show. Shocking. 619. Awesome interview with Profar. He's the man. I'm a fan now. Go Bar Profar from an Aztec in Vegas. Way to go. 714. It's nice to hear DJ Johnny Riff back to being fatherless. You no longer have to compliment Jim Russell. Let it out.
He does look seem so much more relaxed today.
Slept well
this is
last
good.
Night.
619. How about the sight of an old In Cahoots for Luke Voigt? Spring Valley Inn for Will Myers.
Dude, I could totally see that's In Cahoots.
Long live the beet farmers. 619. Did your friends get in the sewage infested waters of IB? No, they got in the sewage infested waters of Coronado. Mm. 619, I saw Buzz Lightyear this weekend. Marty, I'll make sure to spoil it for you today or tomorrow since you don't care.
Okay.
609, you start to see why the Rays let Blake Snell go. Talent there, too much going on in his head to get any consistency out of him. Yeah. 609, the best thing Blake Snell is going to contribute to the Padres. I don't want to read. 609, hey, J-Riff. My Wi-Fi died, so sorry for using the text line. The Allman Brothers, I believe, recorded a great instrumental tune called Jessica.
It's on the list. We have time for one more, so we'll see.
We'll see. It doesn't sound like you're inspired. 858, Peter in Point Loma here. Hello, Peter. Darren, do you agree with me that the Rams win in the Super Bowl, Avalanche win in Stanley Cup? Now Arsenal will complete the Kroenke trifecta, win the Premier League championship. I do think that they've made a couple of pretty savvy moves. I don't know about a Premier League title. Just maybe top four finish? 760, watch Sandler's Hustle this weekend. Found it to be cliche, totally formulaic. Some of the cameos by real-life stars were clunky. And I loved it.
It was so good.
I didn't see it. I tried watching Peaky Blinders, and I realized I don't remember what happened in the previous season. I was kind of lost watching the first episode. I have to go watch season 5. 609, Padres are still able to call up Abrams without putting Manny on the IL. If he comes back just one day before the 10 days, it was a no-brainer move. Again, the plan is that he's going to play tomorrow and start tomorrow. That's the plan. But if call you get Abrams. Two games... Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm reading the text.
It's already here.
Exactly.
So what are we talking about? Who are they?
That's the point.
Okay.
609, the bags under Snell's eyes get darker the closer it gets to the fifth inning.
Too many nights parting in PB, man.
609, Frank the Tank made an appearance at the game Saturday night. I blame Matty Bobby for handing him two Aurora IPAs. We're going streaking at the landing. Good old Frank the Tank. Totally lost on that one. 760, we got a lot of Snell analysis here. Hey guys, biggest problem with Snell, too sensitive, which manifests itself too frequently. After he hit Harper, you can tell his body language, he was affected. Went from dominating to get lit up. 858, watching Blake Snell pitch is difficult and slightly sad. Like watching a video of yourself drunkenly begging a girl to still love you. Everybody is standing around watching and hoping it doesn't get any uglier. Is that how it feels watching Blake Snell? That's an interesting experience there.
No.
But you're not supposed to beg girls to love you?
609, most of those jello shots for the Ole Miss fans were consumed after Friday's political news broke. Hey. 858, Peter in Point Loma again. At my alma mater, Arizona State, you are not allowed not to have alcohol on campus.
You had to go to that school. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What else? What else do we have here? 619, 5.60 ale. I thought breaking his hand would get us a series win, sans Manny. Oops. 619, hard to believe the Angels season didn't turn around when all the players walked up to the plate with Nickelback songs.
Didn't work.
858, Marty calling the World Series title, no big deal, just made my day. She should have just called the World Series trophy a hunk of metal while she's at it.
I'm just saying, like, Freddie Freeman, come on. Players leave all the time. Haven't seen that. Have you?
He's not allowed to feel sad.
He did. Get it over with.
As Dylan
said,
Friday. We have a generation now of embracing male sensitivity.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy.
Pretty much talking about
men are allowed to cry, Marty. God.
No, I'm not a problem with him crying. It was just not stop.
Just, it's not the stop.
Like, and part of it was like, it just lost the coverage. I mean, it was on Fox on Saturday, ESPN Sunday. I'm like, okay, I get
because
it.
Because he's on national
speech,
TV, he's not allowed
moment.
To cry.
It's every day. It was a 3-game series, man. You get it over with. You have that one moment. Tip your cap to the crowd. I'm sure there's a video, scoreboard trivia. Okay, it was like every single day.
You lost respect for him, didn't you?
No, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's fine, whatever. I mean, he's player of the week. He performs. Like, that's the remarkable thing is he's so emotional.
That's what it takes.
Don't ever cry around Marty.
Finally, 609, I hope Kershaw doesn't cry and suppresses his emotions when he's playing for another team and he plays at Chavez Ravine.
No, when he's done, he's done. I think this is the last year for Kershaw.
Kershaw did genuinely seem to get a little bit of the ass over that, didn't he? Like, what's this guy's problem?
We're a good team here, too, you know?
Yeah, maybe at some point, okay? When he's comfortable in Los Angeles. Anyhow, like I said, do you remember that in 2005? There was some grumbling when Dave Roberts, with the Padres, went back and missed opening day in San Diego so he could be with his Red Sox World Series teammates.
Oh, I totally remember. It's funny. I actually remember the headline I wrote for our old website. It was called Seeing Red Over Jersey Flap. Mm. Like, you had teammates legitimately upset with Dave Roberts going back for a ceremony in which he was honored for the end of the curse.
I remember which side of that one I was on.
Mm, yeah.
Well, being from New York, you were very excited to be on a certain side of that conversation, probably.
No, not really. I was on the side of the Padres are paying your salary, even if you're on the DL. But I don't know that I was right. That might have been a very 2005 opinion. I think if that were today, I would be fully supportive of Dave Roberts going back to Boston and sobbing for 3 days. Mark Sweeney will